CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Past the hour, and welcome to this Thursday evening, Thorn in the Side Thursday evening edition of The Horn. I'm Bob. Welcome aboard. However you may be listening, via iTunes Radio, via the stream at headonradionetwork.com, via whiterosesociety.org, via TuneIn Radio on your Android device, on your iPhone device. Goodness gracious, there's a jillion ways to listen to The Horn. And we want folks using every last one of them, bless you. Absolutely. So, you know, I told you a couple of nights ago that I expected to see one of those blast email responses from Move On about the head stomping incident, the Kentucky head stomper. You know, they're calling him the curb stomper and stuff. No, he's the Kentucky head stomper. Plays nicely on the band of a similar name. And lo and behold, there was. And it was, I was very pleased. It was not a solicitation of money. It was a solicitation to participate in a campaign. You can't stomp on me. You can't stomp on me. And it called for folks to send in photographs holding a sign that says, "You can't stomp on me." And they're hoping to get thousands and thousands. But you know me, I have a hard time following orders. So I talked to Agnes, and I said, "You know what? We're talking about right-wing, violent, redneck thugs, and they only understand one message." So I said, "I don't think it's just enough to send pictures of us holding a sign saying, 'You can't stomp on me.'" So I've just emailed to the Move On people a lovely photograph of my lovely wife, done up in her best pseudo sort of really kind of scary for me Sarah Palin look. You know, the little glasses and the hair and the psyche knot. And yeah. But I posed her at the back of the rusty red pickup truck. She's wearing a lovely red and black print dress. And she's holding a sign that says, "Just try to stomp on me." Because in addition to holding her sign, she's also holding the family 12-gauge. It's a lovely matte black synthetic-stocked 12-gauge riot gun. I'm told by News Ninja Gene that the photo will be up at headonradionetwork.com in about 10 minutes. So feel free to go and have a look. I don't believe in violence. I don't condone violence. But you know what? The reason that violence went down is because the right wing thinks we're a bunch of passive sissies, wimps, with no guts and no, you know. I'm sure Move On will not use this, but it just seemed appropriate to the moment, because that big old strong manly man who hasn't seen his feet or Johnson in the last 15 years and has problems with his lumbago, and that's why he had to stomp her head instead of bending down and punching her in the face, that's all they understand. Not violence per se, but the fact that we are not not afraid to defend ourselves. No, don't worry, Betsy, Texas Betsy. I'll delete your license plate. My license plate's not in it. It's just a lovely Agnes with a shotgun and a sign in front of a red truck. And the sign says, "Just try to stomp on me." So go have a look. Tell me what you think. I thought it was a fun idea. Now, what else this evening? A little note. You got about 54, maybe, I don't know, maybe an hour and 54 minutes. If you happen to be in the neighborhood of Boone, North Carolina, and I wish I was right now, hurry on over to Appalachian State University, because there is going to be a heck of a rock and roll show there tonight. Got an email from, because I'm subscribed, not because I'm anybody special. But I got an email from the drive-by truckers this evening, and they've got a heck of a weekend going. Tonight they're playing Boone, North Carolina at Appalachian State. Then they're playing two nights in the Old Dominion in Richmond. Big Halloween ball there on Saturday. They're also playing Halloween night at the Fillmore in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're busy. If you're anywhere near them, anytime they're around, go and see them. It's the best rock and roll show in the world right now, period. Apparently, there's also big doings coming in New York City. There's a new record coming out. But tonight they're in Boone, North Carolina, and I've got some friends in Boone, North Carolina. I even sent them an email saying, go. You will not regret the cost of this ticket. So, if you're anywhere around Richmond or Boone, North Carolina tonight, or Richmond tomorrow and Saturday night, or Charlotte, North Carolina on Sunday, it's worth the trip. Marty suggesting Marty, who must be just in. On cloud nine this evening because of last night's World Series game. Marty's suggesting, how about a sign with the same image that says, "You ain't worth the powder, don't make me waste any." I like the way Marty thinks. So, there's all that. Now, as far as the rest of the program goes, I love nothing better than alliteration. And isn't it interesting that we've got two stories coming from largely Republican states that begin in the letter I? I realize we're drilling down for some commonality there, but by God, we do. In Iowa, I don't know if you've been following it or not, but there is a vicious campaign in Iowa going on to try to have a bloodless electoral coup to get rid of the Supreme Court justices there who okayed marriage equality for everyone in Iowa. And they've even got something called a judge bus tour. The purpose of the judge bus tour is to get rid of three Iowa Supreme Court judges, the ones who overturned the Defense of Marriage Act in April of 2009. Now, there's a weird, a totally weird, dropped the bad acid at Woodstock and never came back, psychopath in the House of Representatives from Iowa by the name of Steve King. You may have heard when Ed, formerly of WD40.com, when Ed called a couple of weeks ago talking about Steve King. I mean, crazy. You remember Steve King? You see, the homosexuals wouldn't have a problem if they would quit running around telling everybody they're homosexual. You see. Well, Steve King's at it again. Steve King is taking part in the Judge Bus Tour. Because he's safe in his district. His district is apparently comprised of people who are only able to wear slip-on shoes because they haven't figured out tying shoelaces yet. They're that damn dumb. Well, the bus tour made a stop in Cedar Rapids, Iowa yesterday, where Steve King got out and pontificated a little bit. He don't like these here activist judges that are making law instead of being whatever. Just they're not right wing enough to suit him. And he explained. he explained that he's worried that Iowa is going to become, and I'm not kidding, this is a quote, a gay marriage mecca. A gay marriage mecca. So he's interviewed by the Iowa Independent's Linda Waddington yesterday in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And he said the following. Really, not kidding. I will read this without editorial comment. Until after. I think that if we can't defend marriage, that it becomes very hard to defend life. Marriage is the crucible by which we pour all of our values and pass them on to our children, and that is how the culture is renewed each time. So if we lose marriage, for instance, if our children are raised in warehouses, so to speak, there have been civilizations that have tried to do that. The Spartans did that. They took the children away and taught them to be warriors. It's a good way to defend a country, but not much of a way to run a civilization. So I'm afraid if that happened, if we lose the marriage, we lose the home, we lose the nuclear family, then we can't teach our values. We won't be able to teach our faith. We won't be able to teach life. We won't be able to teach our constitutional values either. That's why I'm afraid it's going to be very, very difficult to defend life. It's getting very, very difficult to do this show sober. Because that's the kind of stuff that just drives you to drink. Does any of that make sense to you? Anybody interested in diagramming all of that? Anybody note the fact that these virulent homophobic bigots can't resist a reference to the Spartans? Good God, the only thing Steve King knows is that the Spartans had a penchant for pederasty and that they raised their children in warehouses, which is not true, of course. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and no knowledge at all is daggum terminal. Holy cow. If we lose marriage... Nobody said... Notice the way they frame this garbage. If we lose marriage... Well, no one said they're losing marriage. In point of fact, when the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act or Amendment or whatever, was overturned in Iowa in 2009... It didn't decrease marriage. It expanded it. If marriage is good for some, it ought to be good for all, right? It's a matter of choice. They didn't lose marriage, they gained marriage. Iowa gained familial stability. But no, because Steve King is a godforsaken homophobic bigot, he thinks they've lost marriage. Is anybody in this country taught logic anymore? I know some of us know it when we... If we lose marriage, for instance... This is why I read it straight up. I didn't want anybody thinking that I was fooling around with the words. If we lose marriage, for instance, if our children are raised in warehouses, so to speak, It's actually kind of hard to keep my thoughts together on this one because there's about six different ways to go, different directions to go from this. If we lose marriage, for instance, if our children are raised in warehouses, so to speak, where does that come from? What does it even mean? I'm serious. Can you help, please? Apparently, our buddy Jim is having a problem with this, too. Because what's that line? Marriage is the crucible by which we pour all of our values and pass them on to our children, and that is how the culture is renewed each time. Well, that drove Jim a little bit crazy. He writes, crucible? The crucibles are apparently not made too well. They have a 50% breakage rate. Our blogger, Texas Betsy, writing in, I know a couple who have raised four kids. They had a commitment ceremony when the oldest one was about 10 because they wanted the children to know they were committed to one another. They wanted a wedding, but they couldn't have one because they're both women. No crucibles for the women folk. But they've raised four children. Marty, of course, noting, if you want to save marriage, try banning divorce. This is also a likely teabagger argument. If I want my kid to learn logic, I'll have him or her watch Star Trek, damn it. I added the damn it part. Texas Betsy says she doesn't know if her friends have actually gone to a marriage state yet. I spend a lot of time paying attention to language, trying to be a good writer, trying to be a decent speaker. On the latter part, I often fail and trip over my own my own tongue. But what in God's name does this... I think that if we can't defend marriage, it becomes very hard to defend life. And then there's a line later where he says, we won't be able to teach life. Someone needs to explain to Representative King about the autonomic nervous system and you don't have to teach life. Life instinctually is life until it stops being life. Then again, maybe Steve King is so dumb that he has to walk around with some sort of cochlear implants that say, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. But see, this is a great example of right-wing rhetoric that sounds good, maybe, to some people in a dog whistle sort of way, but can't stand up to analysis. If we lose marriage, for instance, if our children are raised in warehouses, so to speak, well, you know what? Representative King might want to actually look at the children who are being raised in warehouses. Because they are. But the problem is, Mr. King doesn't care about the children who are being raised in warehouses because they're the wrong color. And the warehouses have had fences and barbed wire and razor wire around them. I remember an ongoing discussion about the T. Don Hutto Correctional Facility somewhere in the wilds of the rogue state of Texas, where little children, guilty only of being little children, were kept behind barbed wire like the hardest of criminals. Or perhaps like inmates of what the T. Don Hutto Correctional Facility was, a concentration camp. If we lose marriage, if our children are raised in warehouses, honest to God, I don't know what it means. Is he saying that if same-sex couples are afforded the same rights as heterosexual couples, is he saying that that means everybody has to raise their children in a warehouse? We do have a warehousing problem in this country. Of any so-called industrialized society, we have the highest incarceration rate in the entire world. Many of them in so-called private prisons. And guess what? Among the great research that Think Progress has been done, has been doing, guess who's out there actively participating in the crafting of anti-immigration and anti-immigrant laws? Why, yes, it would be Corrections Corporation of America. Guess what they helped to write? They helped to write Arizona's SB 1070. That's because Corrections Corporation of America, originally the builder and maintainer of the T. Don Hutto Correctional Facility, builds a number of immigrant detention centers. Remember how the teabaggers and the patriots and the militia people were all worried about how that Obama was going to imprison the white peoples? No. No. Instead, we've got Corrections Corporation of America building concentration camps for brown people. And that is the warehousing of children. That is what we mean when we talk about warehousing children and adults. And you'll forgive me if I say that it just drives me a little bit batty to see somebody who knows next to nothing about ancient history trying to go wandering around extrapolating lessons for the modern world from it. I am by no means an expert in my own right, but I'd say I've probably got a little bit more time in it than Representative Steve King. The Spartans did that. They took the children away and taught them to be warriors. It's a good way to defend a country, but not much of a way to run a civilization. Evil bastard. It's not a good way to defend a country. Does he know what the young Spartan boys had to do? Does he know anything about the upbringing of a Spartan boy? You see, Sparta, the Laodiceans, I believe they called themselves, they had a slave class, just as Greek as they were, but not Laodicean, not Spartan, I guess. And no hope of ever being that. They were called Helots, H-E-L-O-T-S, Helots. And Spartan boys, when they reached a certain age, yes, they did go into barracks, and they were not allowed to marry. And as part of their warrior training, and as part of their ritual manhood passage stuff, they were encouraged to go out and terrorize the Helots. It was even okay to kill them. Is that what Steve King means when he says it's a good way to defend a country? I don't know. Because he probably thinks helot is a dirty word he ought not say. Oh, helot! I hit my thumb with the hammer. And this progression, if we lose the marriage, we lose the home. We lose the nuclear family. Wait a minute. Wasn't the term nuclear family designed to describe family structure in this country in an era after the extended family had become the non-dominant family structure? Back in those days, were there the right wingers and religious hustlers running around saying, if we lose the extended family, and by that I mean the household where mama and daddy and the children live, but grandma and grandpa are also there, and maybe an acre away, you've got uncle and auntie and their kids. A much more, not using the word pejoratively, a much more clannish approach to existence. One in which the word family has a much broader meaning. We lose the nuclear family. What is the nuclear family? The nuclear family is parents and children. That's all the nuclear family is. There's no aunties, no uncles, no cousins, no grandma and grandpa. They all have a separate reality and a separate existence. And, well, in the nuclear family world, when you get too old to live on your own, you get shuffled off to a, wait a minute, warehouse. Maybe if Steve King spent more time paying attention to the real threats to American families, the existential crises that come with unemployment, that come with crushing debt, that come with the absolute dissolution of the middle class, that come with the absence of health care, that come with unreliable old age pension support. Maybe if Steve King spent more time worrying about that, nuclear families might actually be a little bit more sound. Because you see, again, he's setting up a false dichotomy. Two guys who are married and raising a child or children, or two women who are married and raising children, are no less a nuclear family than Ward and June Cleaver raising Wally and the Beeve. Ward, you were awfully hard on the Beaver last night. And this false progression of, if we lose the marriage, we lose the home. No, if, like Steve King prefers, you let the banksters run roughshod over this country, you lose the home. Mr. King, what good is a nuclear family that lives in a refrigerator box? Or in their car, if they still have one? What good is that? If we lose the marriage, we lose the home. We lose the nuclear family, then we can't teach our values. What values are those, Mr. King? And I'm not talking about traditional family values, merge, no. Those are buzzwords. Those are not values. Values involve choices and decisions that you make about how best to take a society forward, particularly on a familial basis. Well, if they'd all just go to church. No, it's not the answer. This is a level, and this is hysteria on his part. Because you sort of have to follow this grammatically. If we lose the marriage, we lose the home. So it all starts with, if we lose the marriage. Nobody's trying to keep any heterosexual couples from getting married. Again, I reiterate, it's a matter of expanding marriage, not losing marriage. If we lose the marriage, okay, take out all the blah, 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 we won't be able to teach our constitutional values either. So, just to make this a little bit clearer, Representative Steve King of Iowa says that if same-sex couples are afforded the same constitutional rights as heterosexual couples, it will no longer be possible to teach about the Constitution. Does that work for you? Yeah, I'm not talking philosophically. I'm just talking about, can you get from point A to there down to point G in your own brain? Can you follow? Because that ain't reasoning. That ain't logic. That ain't thought. That's the, what, that's the logical equivalent of that's not writing, that's typing. And then it just sort of ends on a little bottle rocket of insanity. We won't be able to teach our constitutional values either. That's why I'm afraid it's going to be very, very difficult to defend life. I got nothing. I can't make this work. Can you? Reading this stuff makes me feel like I'm crazy. It goes without saying that the four states, plus Iowa, plus Washington, D.C., where marriage rights have been expanded, have not constructed any child-only warehouses. Or any children and adult warehouses. At least none that weren't constructed by Corrections Corporation of America. For profit. There's not a single damn statistic out there to suggest that children raised in same-sex partnered homes have any better or worse family lives than the ones who were raised by Ward and June. Warehousing? Well, wait a minute. Like I said, it's an alliteration thing. Because not only do we have Illinois, we have Indiana. Several of you sent me this story today. It apparently resonated with you, as it did with me. From Iowa to Indiana. You know, it's just Illinois in the middle there. Kind of, on a sort of a diagonal slope, I guess. To the Indiana Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services. This is one of those, hey, look, we live in Haiti with cable moments. This is one of those, oh, looky. The Republican chickens are coming home to roost. This is one of those things that came with Bush's tax cuts for the rich. You know, the ones that said that those tax cuts that the Republican Party swore would have us all just swimming in Frisbees and wheat checks and manifest happiness forevermore, right? Yeah. Headline. Indiana tells parents, drop disabled kids at shelters. One of these days we're going to have to go to video because sometimes when I get all quiet like this, it's just because I'm sort of sitting having a little mini spasm. And at least it'll be understandable on video just to see me. What? Indiana's budget crunch, where did that come from? Oh, wait, just mentioned it. Has become so severe that some state workers have suggested leaving severely disabled people at homeless shelters if they can't be cared for at home. Wait a minute. So if we lose marriage, for instance, if our children are raised in warehouses, so to speak. Indiana's budget crunch has become so severe that state workers have suggested leaving severely disabled people at homeless shelters if they can't be cared for at home, parents and advocates said. They said workers at Indiana's Bureau of Developmental Disabilities Services have told parents that one option they have when families can no longer care for children at home and haven't received Medicaid waivers that pay for services that support disabled people living independently. That's one option. You know, another option they've got is just to get out the family 12-gauge and start blowing away family members. Now, the Spartans used to do that, and it's a great way to defend your family, but not a great way to have a civilization. No, wait a minute, stop. Workers at Indiana's Bureau of Developmental Disability Services have told parents that is, in other words, dropping off severely disabled people at homeless shelters. That's one option they have when families can no longer care for children at home and haven't received Medicaid waivers that pay for services that support disabled people living independently. Marcus Barlow is a spokesman for the Family and Social Services Administration in Indiana. He said that that's not the agency's policy, and that any workers who said so, that they would be disciplined. Okay, but that's still a problem because there's Becky Holliday of Battleground, Indiana. She called to ask about the waivers she's seeking for her 22-year-old son, Cameron Dunn. And Cameron has epilepsy, autism, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Becky Holliday is also a school nurse, so she knows from which she speaks. She made it plain that she and her husband would bankrupt themselves if they were to have to pay for services themselves. So what does this mean for young 22-year-old Cameron's life? Young 22-year-old Cameron spends most of the days of his existence sitting in his stepfather's truck while stepdad goes to work as a municipal employee. But you see, Steve King in Iowa over there, just a couple of states away, doesn't give a damn because he's a Republican. And there's no corporate benefit in taking care of young Mr. Cameron. Now, Ms. Holliday and her husband have not lost their marriage. She has a husband, Cameron's stepfather. They're still married. Their marriage has not been destroyed by any roving homosexuals. Because, you know, that's the thing. When you get earthquakes, volcanoes, marriages, you know, they can... Just the rays that emanate. And so a 22-year-old epileptic, autistic, ADD boy spends most of his life sitting in the cab of a pickup truck somewhere in Indiana. Ms. Holliday said it's heart-wrenching as a parent to watch it. We're people and they're people. They have lives that are worth something. But don't worry. There are no actual cases of disabled people being dumped at homeless shelters. But that's only because Indiana wouldn't provide the care needed. Or maybe that's just bad journalism. There have been no confirmed cases of families dumping severely disabled people at homeless shelters because Indiana wouldn't provide the care needed. You make that call. Let's see, 10 years. That would be, yes, the year 2000. Since the year, there are families in Indiana who have been on waiting lists for waivers, Medicaid waivers, for 10 years. In other words, since the end of the Clinton administration. Through the 8 long, miserable, tortured, nightmare years of the Bush administration, they could not get a Medicaid waiver. And they still haven't gotten one after nearly 2 years of the Obama administration. I'll just read you the paragraph. But some families have been on waiting lists for waivers for 10 years. The lists contained more than 20,000 names last month, and one advocacy group predicted they will only grow longer because Governor Mitch Daniels ordered budget cuts that have eliminated 2,000 waiver slots since July. See, you can't have people thinking that that Medicaid works. Because if it does, if they do, and it does, then the next thing you know, you're well on the way to universal single-payer health care. Other budget cuts brought about by former Bush lackey Mitch Daniels have resulted in the state moving foster children with disabilities to a lower-cost program that doesn't provide services for special needs, and eliminating a grocery benefit for hundreds of developmentally disabled adults. Adults! Marriage is the crucible by which we pour all of our values and pass them on to our children, and that is how the culture is renewed each time. So if we lose marriage, for instance, if our children are raised in warehouses, so to speak, if we lose the marriage, we lose the home. We lose the nuclear family, then we can't reteach our values. We won't be able to teach our faith. We won't be able to teach life. We won't be able to teach our constitutional values either. That's why I'm afraid it's going to be very, very difficult to defend life. Steve King, you goddamn son of a bitch. Because you know what? Indiana is not a state in which all persons enjoy the right to marry. No, it isn't. And yet parents of children with disabilities and adults with disabilities find it nearly impossible to defend life. Funny, it's not an abortion issue. There's no fetuses involved. There are no homosexuals getting married in Indiana. But they've eliminated waiver slots. They have eliminated grocery benefits for developmentally disabled adults. Oh, this is the America that the right wing dreams of! Where the weak are slowly, miserably, and painfully culled from our midst. Jesus. Kim Dodson is the Associate Executive Director of the ARC of Indiana. She said her group has received reports of state workers in several of BDDS's 8 regional offices telling families to take disabled adults to homeless shelters. She speculated that the suggestion resulted from frustration among BDDS staff as families become more outspoken about the effects of state cuts. In other words, the ordinary people trying to run their ordinary lives and maintain their ordinary families have got a little uppity, and the workers have said, well, why don't you just take them to the homeless shelter and drop them off? Representative Suzanne Crouch, a Republican from Evansville, said she found it deplorable that people are being told to go to a homeless shelter. Well, sister, you're a Republican. You're why it's happening. 18-year-old Sabrina Minich's funding for residential treatment runs out this Sunday. The shelter, the facility, is, of course, privately run. It is called Damar Services Incorporated of Indianapolis. And staffers there told her that unless she takes Sabrina home with her, Damar Services Incorporated will drop Sabrina off at a homeless shelter. Sabrina is bipolar and has anxiety attacks. She's attempted suicide. She's run away during home visits. She's threatened her older sister. And she can't come home. She can't come home. Jim Dalton is the chief operating officer of Damar. He said, I can't comment directly on any specific case, but we would never leave a client at a homeless shelter. We're talking about youth that absolutely require services and no one is willing to fund them anymore. You know what? This is an Indiana story. But I guarantee you it's happening in Illinois. I guarantee you it is happening all over this country. Because you see, these are the people who paid for George Bush's tax cuts. These are the people who may very well pay with their very lives for the extension of the Bush tax cuts. And yet, in the discussion, about the Bush tax cuts, all we hear is the discussion of business. Business. I don't know, is this where we are? I don't know. Is this where we're going to stay, I think, is the more important question. And it is a frightening question to contemplate. Maybe later on in the program we'll have a little conversation about the transcript of President Obama's meeting with the bloggers yesterday that we heard a little bit about from Dave Nywert. Our buddy Chris from St. Louis sent me the link on Facebook last night and was, by his words, almost, it was almost as though he was despairing. Because once again, we had more of that language about how President Obama wants to work with the Republicans. And I could understand that sense of despair. But I think it is really, really important that we understand ramifications and good God, it blew me away the one time I rode a train across Indiana. Jesus, the sun comes up at like 3 a.m. there because there's nothing to block the sun. It explains some of their wild-ass politics, nobody there's getting any sleep. But this isn't some sort of isolated Indiana-based event. This isn't, you know, come on down to Hoosier Henry's house of helpless, homeless hominids. It's very important, I think, that we see stories like this and make some sort of dot connection, if you will, to why it happens. See, you can't blame this one on the liberals. This one comes right home to roost at trickle-down economics, Reaganism, Bushism, Republicanism, conservatism, where the only goddamn thing that matters on the planet is business. Where the whole world, the whole nation can go hang if a man making $50 million a year doesn't get a tax cut. Don't kid yourselves. This is a brutal place. And it is no country in which to be sick or poor or old or us. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the Horn. Chime in with your thoughts. You know the number. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Right at the top of the second hour, we begin this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. And you know what? Well, just a reminder, the numbers, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head-on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes in to bobkincaid@gmail.com. That's B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. Oy, that didn't take long. You know, I told you at the beginning of the program how I'd uploaded a photo of Agnes with her best Sarah Palin look going for her with a shotgun in her hands and the sign says, "Just you try to stomp on me." I told you about that, right? And I said I was actually pleased that the thing calling for the photographs hadn't contained a money pitch in it from Move On. Oh, someday I will learn. Someday I will learn. Because it didn't take very long. Oh, no, sir, not at all. Mm-mm, no way, no how, nuh-uh. During the break, an email rolled in because I had uploaded, in fact, a photograph of... And I thought maybe it was going to be one. I thought it was going to be a real email. You know, "Dear Bob, please don't send us any more photographs of pissed off women looking like Sarah Palin holding firearms." No, it was a blast email. "Dear Bob, yesterday, along with our friends at Progressive Change Campaign Committee and Credo, we sent out a call in the wake of the terrible assault of Lauren Valley at a Rand Paul event on Monday night. The request was to blah, 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 take a look at the photos, pol.moveon.org, can't stomp photos, yada, yada. We got thousands of pictures from brave people like you all over the country who were appalled after watching two men, both Rand Paul supporters, throw 23-year-old Lauren Valley to the ground, and while she was pinned, one man intentionally stomping on her head, leaving Lauren with a concussion." And then this statement, with which I wholly, completely, and totally agree. "In 2010 in America, women deserve better than to be assaulted and then blamed for it. In 2010 in America, engaging in political protest is not an invitation for a beating." Shouldn't be. But we're dealing with thugs and bullies. And in the case of Kentucky, redneck thugs and bullies. And uppity women in Redneckville are an invitation to a beating. Maybe if this program lasts another 5 years, at some time I will get somebody out there in liberalosphere to understand how goddamn dangerous rednecks are. redneck right-wing Republicans how dangerous they are. These photos show the overwhelming response from people just like you who know that together we can stop the violence. Thanks for all you do. Signed. And then, right there at the bottom, you just knew it was coming. Want to support our work? We're entirely funded by our 5 million members, no corporate contributions, no big checks from CEOs, and our tiny staff ensures that small contributions go a long way. Link, chip in here. It had to happen, didn't it? Chris, who sent me the transcript of the Obama blogger meeting yesterday, just posted a comment to where he posted it on my Facebook page yesterday. He said, I just hope that Obama becomes a realist sooner and not later. I know that he's just one man, and he can't change things overnight, but there comes a point in time where, and it will come, that Obama is going to have to draw a line in the sand and stand up for the people that voted him into office. And see, if you go are we friends on Facebook? If we aren't, why aren't we? You can go and find the transcript over at Huffington Post. That's the link that I got last night. And you could sense, although, you know, it's reading printed words, there are no emoticons. You can sense some frustration because he took a lot of grief about the response to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he said, listen, you know, some of you people act like I'm not friendly toward gay folk. He said, I've got more gay people in my administration than any other. And he's not lying. It's the truth. But, you know, letting in a couple of black folks at the formerly all-white country club is not the same as integrating all the country clubs. And having some gay folks inside the administration is not the same thing as every gay person in America having full due process and equal rights under the Constitution. It's not the same. I'm just saying. Heading back to the phones, let's dive right into things. Hey, welcome to the program.
Sir, aren't the workhouses still in operation? And if so, let them die and decrease the surplus population.
Decrease the surplus population. Thank you, Mr. Scrooge. What's up, Jim?
That's it. You got it.
You know, maybe it's time for me to go and find Swift's A Modest Proposal and just read that on the air.
Well, I don't think you need to go that far. But, no, please don't.
Okay, I won't, and we'll say we didn't.
No. Please don't. No, but I mean, it would appear to me as though they want to take these people and just imprison them, basically, don't they? Is that what you were referring to earlier?
Yeah, well, let's just be a little more candid about it, Jim. They want them to die.
Well, I mean, before that, don't they prefer some type of incarceration, basically?
Well, yeah, I'm sure, yeah, because there are some among them who want to have their fun first.
Well, I guess so. You know, it's a strange thing about how people feel about prisons in this country, and prisoners and people like that, and the things that are going on in them, and the type of locking up facilities that these individuals would seemingly promote, isn't it?
And you know what? You know what strikes me, Jim, in reading those words of Steve King from Iowa, they've given up all pretense of even having to make sense anymore. They're not even making any. They're not even attempting to make some sort of a credible argument anymore.
Well, they don't care. They don't need to, because you know they're unmasked. I mean, let's face it, let's drop the euphemisms, you know, like they used to have in another part of the world, like special handling and special treatment, this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just want to share with you, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
It has to do with basically the keepers and the kept. The reformers among us had believed that what in effect were crimes committed by society against the prisoners had brutalized them or rendered them less than fully human. The hardliners among us had believed that the crimes committed by these prisoners against society had branded them as less than fully human forever. The prisoners paid with their lives to prove to all of us the truth what they had explicitly told us. We are beasts. We are not beasts. We are men.
Yes.
Jessica Mitford, kind and useful punishment, the keepers and the kept. Maybe it was written in 73, but still the same attitudes prevail today.
Yeah, there's... Right.
And that's where this is going, with this type of societal surgery and the underpinning of any type of safety net for people who are...
But Jim, what is wrong with this country? That people... Remember, this is a country that says it is at least 80% Christian.
Well, I don't know. I'm beginning to ask what is right with this country.
Yes, absolutely. But this is a country that claims to be 80% Christian, and under those circumstances, given that fact, how is it that all of these Christians are so accepting of all of this hell? Has there but for the grace of God goes John Smith gone completely out of vogue and out of the vocabulary?
Oh, Bob, I can claim the world is flat, but that doesn't make it so. But that certainly doesn't make them what they say they are. You know that. I know that.
So it's just something that they put on, like we'd put on a raincoat for inclement weather.
A veneer, an outer garment, and of course at their convenience they will remove same and shed it, and you see them for what they are, just depending on, I guess, what they consider to be what is climatically favorable. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's another term, climatically favorable, coming into vogue. Climate of time, the type of outer skin you're wearing, covering up what you really
are. We shall prepare a face to meet the faces that we meet.
Yeah, that's true. And everybody does that to a certain extent. But now, it would appear to me as though what used to be right with this country is no longer right with this country. And it's just not with this country, too. I mean, this is a type of thing that's spreading all over the world.
But, you know, Jim, I mentioned something last night about all this fear-mongering by the right being tied to the fact that they know that in 40 years they're irrelevant. And so they've got to set up their apartheid state now.
But, Bob, they don't believe they're going to be irrelevant.
No, I think that, Jim, I disagree. I think they know it. Because it's not going to be their lily-white little leave-it-to-beaver world in 40 years.
No. They believe that it will be. I do believe that. That's where we disagree.
But the only way to make that happen is to start either massively deporting people or putting people up against the wall.
Well, I mean, you know, don't you think they've considered that? Don't you think, I mean, you know, what do you think the Nazis were talking about when they were going to create their 1,000-year Reich? They believed it. They believed it enough to try to kill 11 million people. They did. They ended up killing 50 million in a war. Hell yeah, these people believe this shit. And don't you think they don't believe it either? They know it's true, and they're determined to make it come to pass if they can. By any possible means, mark my words.
And if they win on Tuesday, how significant is a step is it toward what they want?
Oh, I think it's a considerable step. I really do. Because if they should win and they should gain control of the House, the Senate, they're going to make Obama the prisoner in the Vatican, who is virtually powerless to do anything except maybe veto this or issue an executive order or to be their toady. I think it will be a considerable step. It will be one akin to, I hate to keep going back to this. It will be something akin to when Adolf Hitler began to achieve a form of legitimacy instead of being a street brawler, which led him into the office of chancellor. I think that's where it'll probably be. That's the way I gauge it. I might be wrong. I mean, I'm no Father Tiresias. All I can tell you is what I read and how I feel. But that's just my humble opinions. And opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got them, and most of them stink. Excuse my French tonight, but I'm a little...
head up. A little head up, as we say.
Let me put it this way. The way the British were in South Carolina in the 1780s, but disaffected and disconnected. That makes any sense.
Yes, it does, Jim. Even in the darkest moments, somehow there's a smile.
Gallows humor. I mean, what can I say?
But, I mean, and I guess I'm looking for a little affirmation here. Is it fair to say that, yes, people who have been born behind the eight ball are the ones who basically paid for the tax cuts for the people who were born on third thinking they hit a triple?
You mean the lower classes of people?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and not in this case, people who are developmentally disabled?
Well, no, I don't think they paid for it because I don't think they were able to function and have a job. But I mean, it was certainly there.
But the fact that there are services that used to go to them that no longer do, that no longer go to them precisely because we had to have tax cuts for the 50 million and up crowd.
Passively paying, yes. Absolutely. Yes, they had passively paid for these tax cuts for the wealthy and for the Wall Street excesses, and when I think of all the money that they spent on bailouts for people who couldn't or wouldn't exercise judicious and proper means of administering their own finances, when I think of how they took all this money and gave it to them and took it away from people who really needed it desperately, it makes me kind of angry. It makes me lose what little faith I have left in justice and humanity, to be honest with you. I mean, when you have these bailout companies that are using this money frivolously and excessively, I mean, even back with the Silverado thing, back in the 90s, remember the Resolution Trust Corporation?
Oh, I do.
And they had to resolve all that crap, and guess who was heavily involved in one of those? And what was it, Silverado?
Yes, Neil Bush.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think he ever paid any of that? No. Do you think it hurt him? No. We paid for it. The taxpayer paid for it. And think of how many people were denied benefits then that could have been paid to them, but that money was channeled in other directions to provide for the, no, that's the wrong expression, to correct the needs of the so-called affluent. Now, these people are serious. They want to have their little living white world, and they don't want to have any brown-skinned people in it unless they can, you know.
Or anyone who disagrees with them.
Well, let's say they had a cut grass to fry chicken. That's basically what most of them would like to have see anyway.
Yeah, Juanita just wrote in, and she said, I totally agree with Jim about the plans to get rid of we who are undesirable. They don't need us for their serfdom. We have tasted freedom. There are plenty of outsiders from other nations that will be their serfs.
Well, sure. The reason we're exporting all our stuff over to China and places like that, you know, people who work for nothing and who are already used to the totalitarian regime, if they get out in the middle of Tiananmen Square, they're going to get run over by a tank like they were in 89. I don't think that's changed a whole hell of a lot. Has. Please bring me up to date.
Don't think so. Nope.
I think that basically they just consider, you know, us to be grist for their mill, fodder for their cannons. Just some type of irritation that needs to be scratched away.
But the funny thing is, what the little shock troops, you know, the middle class and lower class people who vote Republican don't seem to understand, Jim, is they're in the same boat with us. They're just as undesirable as we are.
Yeah, but the trouble is, now you look at the current upcoming election and the percentages thereof. Now you have a poll that came out today of the independents who voted for Obama, okay?
Right.
Between 60, and there are three categories, I don't remember the categories, I'm sorry, but they range from 62 to 69% of the independents who voted for Obama are expected to vote for the Republicans or the teabaggers or their candidates. What does that tell you about them? They don't have a whole lot of realization too, do they?
Oh, no. The so-called independent undecided voter can't decide on any given day of the week, can't decide whether to breathe in or breathe out. I have no respect whatsoever for independent, undecided voters.
Well, I mean, these people don't know whether they're going to a bathroom and pull out their tie and piss in their pants.
There you go.
In my opinion. I mean, you know, I'm an independent. Independent what? I mean, you know, which side is your bread buttered on? Next thing I'm going to ask them, are you gay or straight? They give you a answer then.
Yeah, but there's no undecideds there, are there?
No, there's not.
And that's why I have to worry, you know, why is it Steve King has to go to the Spartans?
Because the fool doesn't know any better. He knows as much about...
No, I think that's a Freudian moment, Jim.
No, he doesn't know any better, probably. He's probably just dumbass ignorant. And he knows as much about Peloponnesian history as a child in the cradle does about the perturbations of heavenly bodies.
There's another one out of the park, Jim.
Well, I wasn't aware that I was in the batting cage, but that's okay.
Oh, every time I pick up the phone and you're there, you're just sitting there swatting them out of the park. What are you doing? None of this false modesty from you, Jim.
But Bob, false modesty is the highest form of conceit, according to the Rush of Calls.
Hey, Jim, you have a wonderful evening, my friend.
Well, you too. I've enjoyed our shall we say, our
badinage repartee.
Yes, badinage repartee. I just love those words. Other words also like dementia precox. A lovely flower is Sebastian Venable's mother would say.
Jim, you take care, my friend.
Good night, sir.
Bye now. Gotta keep smiling. Gotta keep laughing. And the thing is, if you can tuck a little truth in, a few facts in among the giggles, sometimes they travel further. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey. Kind of greetings. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, hey, Spike. What's up?
All kinds of shenanigans, all kinds of shenanigans. I saw an interest in peace earlier tonight, since it's closing on the election. First few minutes of network news interested me to see what's getting coverage leading up to the election. And I like how CBS did a piece about how the Democrats are starting to bankroll the independents they think are going to steal the votes from the Republicans, the Libertarians and the Tea Party candidates.
It's not a, you know, it's God knows the Republicans have done it to us. It's not necessarily a bad strategy, I don't suppose.
No, I think it's actually an incredibly stupid strategy, just like it was foolish for the Republicans to give Ralph Nader essentially money so he could publicly condemn them. It's the same to give money to enable the Tea Party movement, and particularly...
I've got a problem with giving Democratic money to teabaggers, without a doubt. But if there's a situation where one of them can pull, votes, but then again, how much good does that kind of money do at this stage of the game? That's my question, Spike. Really, on the Thursday before the Tuesday election, how many independent undecided really are left? What is wrong? I guess, and I don't mean you. This is the figurative you. But what is wrong with you if you're still walking into the voting booth on Tuesday going, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm really not sure?
Well, I think the bigger issue is people still haven't figured out quite exactly how to challenge the corporate money that rules both parties at the top. So they have this ridiculous Peter Griffin from the Family Guy-like strategy of just turning your head left and right every 2 seconds to where you're going. They voted out the GOP because they're angry where the economy went. Now they're still angry. The economy thinks they're going to vote out the Democratic Party and put the GOP back in, who wants to just bring it back to what...
But do you really think that's the case, Spike? Is America really angry about the economy, or is America angry about how Americans have been treated in the economy? And I think there's a substantial difference between the two.
I think what this really is a direct result of a limited party system.
I think this is a direct...
I need more than two choices, and unfortunately, no one has figured this out. And from what I'm hearing on the potential gridlock the House going back to the GOP will create, where you think nothing got done these last 2 years, just wait. I think what we're really setting up for, potentially more than anything else, especially if the GOP is foolish enough as to put a Tea Party person as candidate for president in 2012, is we might see the first chance of a non-two-party candidate actually winning it ever. And, you know, obviously we know that some usual suspects will show up. I think the biggest wild card could very well be the former governor of Minnesota and Jesse Ventura. Because
in 12?
Things keep going the way they are. This will almost be exactly what happened in Minnesota 12 years ago, where people got a little tired of nothing getting accomplished between the two parties in state politics. So all the more reason that the Democratic Party shouldn't have candidates like this nitwit running for Congress. I also saw on television today out of Tennessee saying, I'm not a woman from California. I'm not an African-American from Chicago. I'm a country boy from Tennessee.
What?
Which is essentially him saying, I'm a white boy.
Yeah, I'm white and male. Make me do an ad with my shotgun.
We shouldn't be surprised that in reality a lot of these Democrats are going to lose because they're the quote-unquote blue dog Democrats who don't get her done too well. And again, when you have the option between voting for Republican light or Republican, wouldn't it just make more sense to just get it over with and just be a Republican and vote Republican? A lot of these blue dogs are about to lose their seats, which that's the bigger problem. We built, the party built too much around depending on these blue dog nitwits who are just as well just dinos, Democrats in name only. So we're going to lose a lot of these people. So have we really even lost let's think of it as progressives. Are we losing anything in this election with a lot of these Democrats losing their seats? If we really think of who many of them are that are about to lose their seats? I really don't think so. I think we lose in a state like Pennsylvania if Pat Toomey replaces Arlen Specter. You know, Specter wasn't a liberal, but he certainly is not a Tea Party candidate. Pat Toomey is. You know, that's how we lose, is when we give up a seat from someone who wasn't the far right to the far right. I mean, these Blue Dog Democrats, they're just political opportunists.
Opportunity
has passed.
I wish I had an election like you got up there between Toomey and Sestak. That's easy.
Yeah. That needs to go to Sestak. You know, but the congressional district to my north, which is Chris Kearney, who's a Blue Dog Democrat, God, his opponent's a total corrupt idiot in Tom Marino, but in the same, Chris Kearney's a Blue Dog Democrat in a heavily Republican district. Yeah, I'm not shocked they're going to lose. I was more shocked they even won the seat in the first place, because all those people up there, Pike County, which has Milford, Pennsylvania, as its biggest town, sure, most of you will have to Google that to even figure out where it is one of the biggest strongholds in northeastern Pennsylvania for the Tea Party. In Pike County, they really, like, overtook the county last year. There's a lot of crazy old white people in Pike County, Pennsylvania. And so, yeah, I'm not shocked that, you know, we're going to lose that seat. But, you know, to be honest with you, it's not like those people have been entirely liberal over the last 30 years up there.
Well, no.
Many of them have. Jesus.
And, you know, you mentioned 2012. I just got an email in from Marty out in California, and he says, apparently, Caribou Barbie Mussolini, Godzilla from Wasilla, has announced she's running for president in 2012 on the E! Network.
She's just running for attention. She's going to I guarantee you she will withdraw before she ever gets it. She's using the Rudy Giuliani strategy of just keep promoting yourself so you can get some sweet media gig somewhere. Because it would take work to run for president, and just like Giuliani didn't feel like putting in the time, she even has less desire putting in the time. So, yeah, she's going to run for president in 2012 until about January 2012 is what I say. And around January 2012, she's like, I got to deal with this. I can't do it. Give me some job on TV talking. I can do that.
You betcha.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when Howard Stern ran for governor of New York. That's basically what her political career is. Only, at least we knew Stern was full of it and just looking for attention. People are actually buying into Sarah Palin doing it, thinking she's a legitimate candidate. When she's, her and Glenn Beck are just total ripoffs of Stern, essentially. if you really think about how they conduct themselves, what they do for attention, that's really all they are. They're just total ripoffs of a lowbrow morning radio. That coming from morning radio, not as much of a shock. He's a ripoff, but Palin seems to kind of use the same. You know,
it's the one place on earth where I find myself in agreement with Chris Matthews. It is Jeb in 2012. Just get used to it.
Be ready, Chris Christie, the governor of the garbage state.
Nah, see, I don't see it. I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable. I don't see it. I don't care if it's Mitt Romney. The Repiglicans, especially. You know what? Liberals might kind of scratch their heads and say, "Well, you know, they drink a lot of milk. You know, they seem to be nice. They're all squeaky clean. You know, okay, Mitt Romney." A liberal might do that. But a conservative, family values, Repiglicking, fundamentalist. Oh no.
Well, I applaud so, her, of course.
Yeah, no Mitt Romney. You know what the dream ticket is? It has nothing to do with Mussolini, Caribou Barbie. The dream ticket is Jeb Bush and Mike Huckabee.
Well, I know there's a lot.
Because there's Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is, I think, at least technically Roman Catholic, married to a Roman Catholic Hispanic woman. And to tie himself to a right-wing fundamentalist Southern Baptist like Mike Huckabee, it's a perfect storm of everything the Repiglican Party could want.
Well, yeah, but you also have to keep in mind the Palin factor in, which she proved is Republicans are ready to jump on someone who hasn't even served half a term yet. So therefore, some of the big players could be people who might be winning on this upcoming Tuesday. if Rand Paul could suddenly be a big player, because, you know, the Republicans have shown you don't need to prove you've actually been a success at a job. You can just say you won, and they think, therefore, you are a success at that post. And so they were more than willing to vote for Sarah Palin because she won an election for governor. She didn't do jack. So I wouldn't be shocked if a Tom Corbett or Rand Paul, or Dan Quayle's son becomes.
Oh, if I had a connection to, if I had, but honest to God, Spike, if I had a connection, with one of those little betting houses in London that will take bets on which bird will fly away from a wire first, I'd send $20 over there yesterday and at whatever odds on Jeb Bush. That's how it is, you know. But moreover, one other thing, and I don't overlook, Spike, the something that is incredibly obvious. You're right. Sarah Palin's not about governing. She's about making money. And the minute she declares for the presidency, she'll raise $20 million in 30 days.
Right. And then when she withdraws, she'll think she can keep the money.
Bingo. Remember, half-dead Fred Thompson raised $2.5 million that way. And they ain't, right. And the thing is, there ain't no refund checks in the mail from half-dead Fred yet.
Right. Well, and we've seen with her and her BFF down in Delaware, they think that campaign money equals just, you know, money they can use for other things, too. So, you know, I'm sure I wouldn't be shocked if she's just going to try to pull a big ripoff. And these people are such suckers, they'll fall for it.
It's a con.
She's a good Christian while she's ripping them off. Karma, kind of like Notre Dame. Sad that kid videotaping from the scaffold fell to his death yesterday, but again, don't go figure all the controversy of karma with the Catholic institution after all this to do about them hiding pedophiles and allowing people to become victims. So maybe Sarah Palin away is also karma in that she's going to screw the far, far right wing more than she's ever going to help them in the long run. But I have one last concern, considering I'm going to be a poll watcher on Tuesday. And it's this whole business from the Tea Party crowd to pay bounties on catching people who are illegal voters. In third world countries, hell, in countries where we're trying to prop up corporate friendly governments, there's this same practice going on of vote suppression, keeping the people from voting. In this country, it's been done more subtly over the years in negative ad campaigns to keep people away. But now we actually have a political movement openly getting physical about it, that they're going to militantly send people to the polls to look for illegal voters.
Yeah, it's already happening.
And
it's already happening. I had that story last night from Sparky out in California about what's going on in North Carolina.
Right, right. And, you know, we have, I can't believe I'm slightly in agreement with the NRA in this one. Pennsylvania passed a resolution saying to try to avoid this, that they should allow county by county to ban firearms from the polling place. Well, in all actuality, I don't think it should be up to counties. Actually, I think the state should step in and say that civilians should not be carrying there. But in the same, there needs to be armed protection for polling places, I believe, at this point. I really fear that we could see our first examples of extreme violence at a polling place somewhere this election. I'm thinking more than likely some place where they're just that, you know what, crazy. I know they cut the gas line to, I forget what congressional district in Virginia it is, but he represents Lynchburg and he's a Democrat who came in, I believe he's a blue dog, with the wave of just discontent over the Bush administration, and the Lynchburg Tea Party put up, or his brother's gas line got cut. They put up his brother's address by accident on the internet, and suddenly hit the propane tank line to his house got cut.
I remember that.
I think I wouldn't be shocked if it's in that congressional district. I've been there recently. These people are fucking, sorry, I dropped it on the air.
There we go. Just got to remember, you can't do that on terrestrial, okay?
Yeah, that's the first time I've done that ever on radio.
well, it happens to the best of us.
They're crazy down there. There's no way around it. It's hard not to drop an F-bomb and mention they are crazy in Lynchburg and that part of Virginia. I would not, and by the way, how many mass shootings has Virginia seen over the last 5 years?
Oopsie.
I think we're on the verge. I just hope to God it does not happen in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But
you got a 1 in 50 chance because
their arm.
No, I mean, but Spike, you got a 1 in 50 chance because this is Merca.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, good conversation, brother. We'll talk soon. Good luck. Hey, good luck poll observing.
Yeah. Let's hope it goes well.
Here. And don't let any right wing thugs intimidate you, brother. I don't think you would anyway.
Yeah, no, they're not going to get past. Most of them are all little Napoleons anyway, so I'm not too worried about it.
You can swat them away with the thump of the finger.
I drive a Toyota Echo. I'm very secure in my manhood.
All right. See you, Spike.
Later.
Calling from PA, that's our buddy Spike. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, can we talk about this meetup that the president not had?
Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping we'd get around to that at some point.
Well, let me just, I'm confused. Let me just read this one quote.
Okay.
This notion that somehow I could have gone and made the case around the country for a far bigger stimulus because of the magnitude of the crisis. Well, we understood the magnitude of the crisis. We didn't actually, I think, do what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did, which was basically wait for 6 months until the thing had gotten so bad that it became an easier sell politically because we thought it was irresponsible. We had to act quickly. Hello? Let's look at what Roosevelt did. Emergency Banking Act, March 9th. Economic Act, March 20th. He took us off the gold standard. He created the Tennessee Valley Authority, the National Employment System, the Bank Holiday, the Farm Credit Act, all within 100 days before June.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were citing March dates there, Sandra. That's not 6 months into his presidency.
No, that's not. That's like the bank holiday was like March 5th. I mean, you know, minutes, because they, you know, back then they were not, they were inaugurated in March, not in January. He gonna throw Roosevelt under the bus? He don't even know what the hell he's talking about. Roosevelt just waited so he could use politics to get stuff through.
That's a, yeah, I read that and it was more than a little bit, really? Roosevelt, yeah, this, what?
No, as soon as I saw Roosevelt, I thought, well, no, hell no, what in the world? I mean, is he assuming that people are just butt dumb?
Yes.
Cause there's no way Roosevelt had to move hell quick. He knew that he had a small window, unlike this fool.
The whole, well, I mean, I trust you read the thing top to bottom.
Well, oh, yeah, there's more. No. The other thing I'm thinking of is maybe this fool needs to reread the letter from Birmingham.
Yeah, because he says it's one of the, well, did you notice that letter from Birmingham jail is one of his favorite pieces of literature?
No, I understand, but, well, what are you talking about? I mean, this is one sentence here, right here. Human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men willing to be co-workers with God, and without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the forces of social stagnation. Now, obviously, that's what he means when he's saying time is neutral. But God damn it, that is not how it should be framed for Obama to say, oh, yeah, time is neutral. No, fool. That era, all of it was just like, yeah, was that a talking point that someone shoved under his nose?
I don't know. The other thing that bugged the hell out of me, and you know, it's just one of those passing remarks, but I guess it's become the conventional wisdom. I guess I'd make 2 points, he says. The first is, I'm president and not king. Okay, well, we get that. And so I've got to get a majority in the House. Okay, I'm down with that. And I've got to get 60 votes in the Senate to move any legislative initiative forward. Well, you've only got to get 60 votes in the Senate if your Senate majority leader is spineless. And he talks about how, well, we only had 60 votes for, you know, 6 or 7 months, and that's after Franken was seated and Arlen flipped. But again, no mention of the fact that, you know, yeah, he had 60 votes, Sandra, but he never had 60 votes. Because A, he didn't have a majority leader that he could count on, and B, of those so-called 60, that includes Mary Landrieu, Blanche Nelson, and or Blanche Lincoln, and Ben Nelson. And they were never, ever, ever, ever going to move forward on anything that he wanted. Because they're not Democrats.
I understand it. And once again...
But you understand it. I understand it. Does he understand it?
Well, I really don't know, because I'm not too sure what the hell he understands if he's throwing Roosevelt under the bus. I'm sorry. I'm still stuck there. I'm like...
No, that's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, I just am like, you know, it's really doing my head in, because I'm thinking, wait, they coined 100 days behind this fool. I mean, behind Roosevelt. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the whole idea of measuring a presidency by 100 days.
Right, that's from him. So how in the world is he going to make a statement about somebody waiting 6 months? It's just incredible. I'm not too sure what's going on there. And I can do without the sort of, you know, waffling with the gay thing. It's like you're in a bad position, buddy, because you're on the wrong side of it.
And see, I initially almost took some grief when Chris posted this thing on my Facebook page last night, Sandra, because I wrote that I read it, and in some ways, I almost felt sorry for him. And, you know, I hate the fact that I've got a Democratic president, and the most profound emotion that I can generate for him is pity.
Are you talking about the Roosevelt thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because that's a really...
I mean, when you're down to that...
It's just ridiculous. I don't know what the hell he's thinking about, or whose presidency he's thinking about, because he might want to move up one and talk about Hoover, because that's a lot more like what he's about. Sorry to say.
Well, no, there's some Hoover. The Hoover-esque deference to the business community is, well, no, it's Hoover-esque.
Yeah. Well, also the thing about the. I'm not feeling the sort of both sides-y he's trying to say about people getting their heads stomped too. That was another bit of it that I was like,
no, I'm so done with false equivalences. I could vomit.
I couldn't believe I said no. He is not trying to say kind of that it's on both sides again. I just am like, what? Now he didn't say it directly, but you understand what I mean. The whole discussion about that had this feel of, oh, we need to, you know, back off, as if everyone's doing it.
Did you catch the part where he wouldn't even allow himself, and I wish they had, and maybe in the version you had, they told who was asking which question, but Mr. President, you're often pressured from both the left and the right on one issue or another, and then even within the Democratic Party, you get pressured from the more conservative, more progressive side of the party. So I'm curious, you sort of govern as a pragmatist. I'm wondering if you view yourself as a progressive. Answer. Well, I mean... The problem with labels is everybody thinks they mean different things. So I would define myself as a strong progressive in the sense that I believe in that essential American dream that everybody gets a chance to make it if they're willing to work hard, that government has a role to play in ensuring opportunity by God bless America. Do you hear that?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I want President Not Sure's email address so I can just send him that clip from the Family Guy Peter's wife runs for office and learns just to answer all the questions by saying 9/11.
Right, yeah, that was a fantastic episode. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
In that sense, I think Abraham Lincoln was a progressive. He was a Republican.
Yeah, no. all of it was like they kept asking him, like, you know, they basically said to him, well, they may not want to work with you, Mr. President. And this fool was still, well, I'm stubborn. I'm like, what? this was blowing my mind with the, I'll do it, I'll keep at it, no matter what. Basically, with the, as far as working with the Republicans, right? And it was just stunning. It's like...
Well, did you see the response, though, Sandra? The Republicans came running out today to make sure that everybody understood that what they meant by working with the president was that the president has got to give them everything that they want, and they'll call that compromising.
Well, no, but he, the other day, you know, Ugly, the ugliest man in the Senate, said, we're working so he doesn't get reelected, which is impeachment or whatever the hell they want to do. So he, I don't understand, is it just a blind spot? Are we missing something? Is this a Frank Sinatra movie? What's happening?
Sorry. Is this a Frank Sinatra movie?
What's going on? Is Angela Lansbury hovering? Am I missing something here? Because this shit is so bizarre. And then he throws the homeowners under the bus saying, well, we got to keep the foreclosures going because, you know, there might be a couple of them out there who are trying to get over. But we'll foreclose on everybody because we don't want to miss the couple, you know, from moral hazard and adverse selection or whatever else. But the banking side, there's nothing.
Isn't that indicative, though, Sandra, of the way that this country is on its ear?
Oh, it's craziness. It's crazy talk.
I mean, that's the equivalent of saying, you know what, we've got a death penalty, and I would rather that some innocents be executed than that we let one guilty man go free.
Right. There's a, you know, the baby with the bathwater.
Oh, by the way, I'm being informed by David in Tennessee, and I got to share this with you. Totally off topic, Sandra. You're going to be so happy. Do you know who's doing the national anthem in San Francisco tonight?
Who?
You're going to die. Lady Antebellum.
No, I'm still trying to recover from Gwyneth Paltrow trying to sing at the Country Music Awards. Now you're telling me...
Yeah, that wasn't okay either.
No, that was like... I was... Ah! You know...
Just give up and hire Roseanne Barr.
I'm like, done. You know, Carl Lewis, bring that fool back. Uh-oh. Yes. More Carl. But, no, that's gross. That's gross. See, it's haunting me. I never heard of them freaks, and now they're everywhere that I turn, the Lady Antebellum people.
Well, I've just been waiting to get news, and I hate, you know, little right-wingers do occasionally listen to this program, and I hate to give them ideas, but I'm just waiting to get news via some email of some proud right-winger of the whole Rand Paul Kentucky head stomper thing. Doing a video of that to the tune of Toby Keith singing "I'll Put a Boot in Your Ass."
Oh, I mean, yeah. That's a really hideous. I mean, yeah. Well, anyway, you know, back to this. Yeah, this. I'm not too sure what's going on with Mr. Obama. I gotta say,
there was a lot to leave you scratching your head.
No, seriously, but the you know, praising of the heck of a job summer. I'm like, hello?
Well, didn't you just love some of my best friends are gay?
Well, no, see, that is like cringe. You know, that is cringe totally. I was like, oh, dear God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was rough. No, all that was just way up north because I guess, I don't know what happened there. I don't know what's going on with him. He basically repeated that he still can't get with gay marriage, so he keeps falling on the wrong side of the issue.
Well, and that's for that segment of the so-called Democratic Party that is still highly bigoted and homophobic.
Yeah, I understand that, but the thing is, you know, he's, you know, 10 years down the road, I guarantee you, well, I don't know what's going to be going on, but certainly gay people getting married ain't going to be the issue as these, you know, oldies die off. I mean, it just can't because I don't think most of these younger people are that concerned with it. I could be wrong.
Well, I think they know that younger people who have time and, frankly, who didn't live through the Stonewall era, and such as that. They just assume that sooner or later the old hateful people will die off and gay people will get the rights that they deserve.
Well, I think that the whole thing with the gay people right now, they're not acting right. They don't fit the PR Madison Avenue bullshit that is the Obama administration, because they locking their asses to gates and acting up. You know what I'm saying? That's not how people protest nowadays. So the gays are acting up, and it's a headache for the Obama administration.
And again, those are gay folks who are, and there's a sort of similarity with what went on with Appalachia Rising in D.C. You know, those weren't gay folks are locking down and acting out, and the same thing to the same extent. Appalachia Rising, those were a bunch of progressive people who sat down and risked arrest, and 114 of them or 115 got arrested that day in Washington, D.C. Those were potential Obama votes. You know, those weren't lunatic right-wingers.
Well, no, but the idea that he's going to sit there and say, oh, no matter what, we're still the best friend that the, gay community can ever have, is like, you know, it's like, I don't know about that, dude. You see what I'm saying? They keep saying it to yourself, you know?
Right. Well, what that is, that's a comparison against an administration that thought people who crucified Matthew Shepard were okay guys. You know, it reminds me of the Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III's comments about the Klan. You know, Senator Sessions from Alabama is on record as having said, "I used to think the Klan was pretty cool till I found out they smoked the marijuana." It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, from the breaking news department, David in Tennessee letting me know, Sandra, that in a live C-SPAN debate right now, just now, Diaper Dave Vitter from Louisiana, remember Diaper Dave?
Yeah.
He said straight out, no quibbling, no passive verbs, he said, "I will do everything I can to repeal the 14th Amendment. I have the bill on my desk now." Now, that guy's going to get reelected, Sandra.
Is this a joke?
No. That's what I'm saying. Breaking news.
Oh, God.
This is what's in store. This is what starts on November 3rd.
It's all really frightening, and I hate to keep jumping back on Obama, but see, if that's the bulldog, I'm scared. You see, that's why I keep going back to it, because if that's the gate or the barrier between this madness, you know, I'm scared, because he's not giving me much confidence. At least I knew, well, not even with Clinton, because Clinton, you know, kind of laid the foundation for wrecking the economy. So, no. Maybe Johnson was the last one. I mean, I don't know.
I think Johnson was the last one.
Okay. All righty. Listen.
That's a hell of a note.
Oh, my God. So you got that Indiana article from somewhere, right?
Yeah, I got it. Well, I got it from you and about four other people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I knew that you would have gotten, because that was just, I was like, hello?
But the thing that made the Indiana story was being able to back it up against Steve King and warehousing children.
Mm.
You know, these people just blow my mind. You know, Steve King's worried about, you know, if the gay marriage stays legal in Iowa, we'll have to warehouse children just like Sparta. Woo!
Oh, these people are crazy.
It's a day-to-day challenge to my ability to hang on to, you know, a world in which I feel like I'm sane.
No, but the war on the weak, you know, I'm forever, all those sort of articles or things I hear about, I'm always filing them away and reading them, because, see, that's my thing. I think that, like you said, culling of the vulnerable, the weak in this society is a step that couldn't be taken. I think it can get that ugly, and it really freaks me out. It's like, oh, shit, you know, what are they talking about? Dump them off at the homeless shelter. That's might as well, you know, they might as well be dead. That one man who's at work while his severely debilitated child is just sitting in a car. Are you kidding me?
The first time I read through the story, that just made me nearly physically ill.
Well, it was just
how can stepdad focus on his job?
Well, no, it's horrible. I'm like, what is this?
What do you do? I mean, it gets right warm in Indiana in the summer.
No, but the thing is, though,
and pretty cold in winter.
What? I mean, this is like some sort of dystopia. Those sort of stories, because that's not the kind of society I want to be a part of.
Orwell couldn't have written that on his worst day.
Well, and it's just horrific because you got that one story, and that's the whole issue in California too, because they upheld some really draconian cuts, the Supreme Court of California, and a lot of that has to do with the benefits that the disabled get. So,
and yet, you use the word, Sandra, dystopia. Every now and then we need a little reminder of what's going on the other side of the planet. The Spanish Supreme Court heard a case a couple of days ago brought by a man who wanted time, Spanish law, they're kind of civilized. They allow time off from work when a newborn comes into the world for mama to go and breastfeed and for daddy to help out. Only there are restrictions on when daddy can do that. So the Spanish Supreme Court just held that it is a right of a father under the Breastfeeding Act, any father, to get the same time the mother does. And on the front end of that, you go, that sounds a little silly. But the thing is, mama's sitting there doing the breastfeeding. It's not like she can mop the floors while she's doing the breastfeeding. It's not like she can cook meals. And this law is actually so humane that it acknowledges that a father has a place. This is family values. This isn't that Republican horse crap that Steve King talks about. Because God knows if you introduced this to Steve King, he'd say it was big government. But no, in Spain, they actually care enough about a newborn that they'll let mama and daddy both have time off from work every day to go home and make sure that the baby is appropriately fed. And in America, no, we want to drop off our developmentally disabled at the homeless shelter. Is that old Europe that Donald Rumsfeld used to talk about?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that would be, because they weren't too keen on the legal wars. You're right. Well, that's we can't even get into the courts, let alone craft legislation in that vein anymore. I mean, I don't know. I just said that Indiana story is just sort of epitomizes to me where we're headed, because those people can't take care of themselves. No matter, personal responsibility be damned, it's not possible. So the solution in this climate is, well, die.
Yeah, and or as Alan Grayson said, die quickly.
Right, we can't blame you because you are actually disabled, but go ahead and die anyway.
No, it's the old sarcastic comment. Go play in traffic.
Right, and
okay, so your kid was sitting in the car. He's 22 years old. It's really hot, and he gets out and traffic. But you know what? Republicans, they didn't have anything to do with that because daddy was not he wasn't personally responsible. I hate him, Sandra. I despise him. I detest him. I loathe him.
No, but we can't, but we cannot end the Bush tax cuts, though. You see what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. My point precisely.
We must keep this, despicable inequality gap growing and growing. I mean, it's stunning, which leads me to, did you see the lovely article about Google getting servants?
Oh, my God.
And I also sent to you the website where you can get these.
Yes, TaskRabbit.
I didn't know what the hell I'm saying.
Just to back up, Google Corporation has begun hiring menial laborers for their employees.
That's paid like pieces of fabric.
Yeah, it's piecework.
Yeah.
Fold laundry and put it away. Cook dinner for two. Assemble four items from IKEA. And they're doing it through this company called TaskRabbit. Pick a task, runners hop to it, pay when it's done.
And their background check. Don't forget.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I just was. That just
welcome to the new economy.
Wow.
Welcome to the new service economy, Sandra.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, where it's way below the minimum wage.
Sure. The piecework, that's why piecework is so good for business.
Right. And so I just, you know, I looked at that and I thought, hello? It really freaked me out.
It didn't do my head any good either. I mean, on the one hand, you can argue that that's a humane way to treat your workers. You know, the what Google is doing. But on the other hand, why not pay them enough so that they can pay to have this done and somebody can have a living wage doing it? Because this is not living wage work.
Well, no, but it's bad. Actually, it's bad all the way up the scale, because what they're saying, though, is that if you're one of those sort of prize Google workers, you say, listen, I got to go home because my boyfriend needs da da da. They say, oh, no, we got this person here to do that for you. Get back to work. Sorry. I mean, I'm not.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah.
I'm not seeing you outside. I see it bad all the time.
No, yeah, right. No, it's. Oh no, you ain't getting off the bench. Stroke, MF-er, stroke.
Right. So
keep rowing.
Right. So you know, see, because I'm always on the side of a less work, more free time. You know, you work to survive, not survive to work or whatever. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, did you love the photograph that came with this? Of I guess it's like the Google rec room, and one guy's sitting in a chair, leaning over, getting a back rub with his face in a pillow. Somebody else is reclining on some throw pillows on the floor. You know, I guess just out of the shot, there's somebody kicking a hacky sack. You know, and that's what life is like working at Google. There's not a computer in sight.
No, I mean
Because I don't know. Maybe Google is so advanced, and they're just not telling us all of their programming work is done by direct thought.
Well, remember, President Nasir said that jobs can only be created in the private sector. That was another thing that I thought, oh, dear God. You see, no work program for the mass unemployed. That was another signal.
Yeah, sorry.
A signal to the free enterprise freaks.
Oh, and Marty just wrote in, Sandra. He said, can't get into the courts? Please remind Sandra that in our state, California, our fellow idiots, you know, Californians, will vote to take away their own right to sue, all in the name of preventing frivolous lawsuits. And they want to repeal the federal minimum wage. And by the way, says Marty, for fun's sake, John Voight has just endorsed Joe Miller in Alaska. Runaway train for everyone. Do you ever have a hard time just getting through to the end of the day, Sandra?
Oh, no, I do. And I understand why Angela won't talk to that freak. So more power to her. I don't know. It's all starting to be the theater of the absurd, this election and whatnot now. If I smoked weed, I'd be puffing, but I don't. Stuff, you know?
You'd be out there looking for Jim's bong with the stirrups and the aquarium pump?
Well, it's just sort of like, you know, I don't drink, I don't do none of that no more. So everything is just like stone cold sober.
And you know what? Forgive me, but that's brutal. That's just brutal. Yeah, Jim just wrote in and said, there's nothing we can say that Jim doesn't, that will not light something up for Jim. You exist to serve this ship. Row well and live, 41.
Yeah. Oh. Too true. Anyway, you know.
It's all Spartacus world, isn't it?
No, it is. I mean, it's just crazy. And these people who won't be interviewed until after they're elected, I'm like, hello?
You know what I got to do? I got to go on Netflix and see if I can find Westworld.
Oh, shit, that's great. With Yul Brynner?
Yeah.
Kidding.
I saw that movie when I was like 9 or 10 years old, and it scared me wet pants.
I know, it freaked you out.
And when the face comes off,
That's a bad one. I mean, the other movie that I've been sort of wanting to see, which is a whole different thing, was Phantasm. I don't know if you know that one.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know. I think we're working on the Horn Film Festival again, Sandra.
Oh, right, because that movie...
Yeah, don't forget to add in Videodrome.
Right, yes. No, I just had, like, you know, the Phantasm was one because that ball, that drilled eye, I mean, it's
yes.
all silly, but that's on the list. Got to put that on. And Westworld, too. You're right about that. That movie is wicked.
Oh, I think the Horn Film Festival would be a beautiful thing, Sandra. You know, and you know, we can start it off by just playing clips of President Not Sure throwing people under the bus, and then roll the tape.
No, if he's gonna throw FDR under the bus, that really tops the list. I ain't gonna forget that.
I sat there reading that last night and just scratched my head. Because I did the same thing you did. I went and checked that. No. Six months?
I mean, it's a huge list.
Yeah, what was it? FDR was waiting 6 months for new wheels?
Yeah, I don't even understand what the hell he's trying to say with that. Anyway, that was crazy. Listen, I'll let you go.
All right, have a good night, Sandra.
All right, bye.
Bye now. And let's see, rolling onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
You want me to pick up some scotch after the call for you?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Sure.
What's up, Gene?
I was gonna tell you, Spike, I am with you in the third party and all, but I'm sorry, Mr. Ventura has said he doesn't believe in third parties anymore.
Did he really?
And it's in USA Today, actually. It was on, because he's got this new TV gig where he's talking about conspiracies. So it was on, they covered it in Ross' story, I think, a couple weeks ago. But he doesn't believe in third party. He doesn't believe in party systems anymore. So that, to me, says, okay, I've given up on democracy. We'll let the neo-feudalists get in here, and I'll just sit back. I mean, I've got money. So, sorry. I was going to tell you a story. The reason I was kind of late today and why the Post kind of shows it, which, by the way, that picture's up at the main site. It's a little sideways. But
yeah, I forgot to send it to you straightened up, so Agnes is sideways, but that's cool.
Well, it's either that or see you right at the neck. So it's sideways. I went out to dinner with my conservative friend. Nice guy. Well, I say he's conservative. He calls himself conservative. He's a fiscal conservative, okay?
Oh, dear.
Thinks he's generally liberal, but he's a fiscal conservative. But it's like we were talking about Oregon's public employees' retirement service purse, whatever it was. And he was saying, well, it needs reform. I mean, he's got his sister that's retired. Now, I realize that it's a pretty good retirement. She retires at 55, takes home $60,000 a year, and gets $600 to pay for her insurance. I think it's a year. I'm not quite sure. It might be a month. But still, that's not bad. I mean, that's a good life. But to him, that's too expensive. Come on now. That's not too expensive. It's well off, but it's not too expensive.
Yeah, you haven't gotten to Rand Paul, you know, comfortably well off yet. No.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, but to them, it's like, no, we gotta cut everything to the bone. It's like, and then I came home and I saw the Indiana story, which doesn't surprise me. I grew up right next door in Michigan, and right next door, like 20 miles away. Not that we were that much different, but I mean, wow. I wonder because they talked about people with, now they called them developmental disabilities, but when I read the article, I thought of that as more mental illness. And I'm sure there were some DD folks in there, see what happens when you cut out the mental illness stuff. Thanks, Mr. Reagan.
It really does, Gene. It goes back to Ronald Reagan, and the Reagan administration did the whole throw folks out on the street program because they were, you know, they wanted that money for their rich buddies.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it under the guise of being humane.
Yeah, I know, and I'm wondering, you know, it's It's because if they're having this kind of trouble with not that these people aren't that they profiled aren't in bad shape, they are. But I can imagine somebody who's got a physical disability, you know, this wheelchair bound, that takes a lot of work too. A lot of work. And
Oh,
that's gonna be I wouldn't wanna if you had to go to a what am I saying? There are people here that I know that have spent time in homeless shelters. I mean, if I end up sticking around here, that might be what happens to me.
But there's no way. I mean, like the kid that was referenced in the story, Gene, 22 years old, autistic, epileptic, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yeah, he's going to do great in a homeless shelter.
That's bad. That's really bad. And
I mean, can you imagine that dad just leaves him? And I'm not faulting stepdad on this, because there's nothing else to be done.
What else can he do? Yeah. Well,
lock him in the truck and roll the windows down like he's a chihuahua.
It's bad. You know, I remembered a few years ago I'd reading about some stuff they were doing in Missouri when they were just starting this jazz. It's like, well, gosh, it looks like Indiana's got it now too. It's like, ooh, this is like, ow, this hurt. What was I going to say? Well, if the next time I'm over in the UK, you want me to put, if I make it before 2012, you want me to put 20 pounds down for...
No, not 20 pounds, 20 bucks. Like, well, you know, 8 pounds or whatever.
Well, maybe, but I'll throw...
Yeah, on Jeb Bush in 2012, at whatever the odds, Gene, at whatever the odds.
Okay, I'll do that.
Or maybe split it. Put two-thirds of it on Jeb Bush at whatever the odds, and whatever's left over, put it on Bush Huckabee.
Okay. I can... Sure, they got plenty of... They got plenty of betting houses down there. I mean,
and they'll take a bet on anything.
Oh, yeah, they will.
They'll make odds on which bird leaves a wire first.
Yeah, I'll put it out there. Assuming they can get over there fast enough. Gosh.
Yeah, now, we'll type that. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to go over there and find out, Gene, that they're not paying much in the way of odds on Jeb Bush.
I don't know. I really look, but it wouldn't surprise me. Which, by the way, I got to tell you something. We listened to the show yesterday, and pardon me, I get a little slow sometimes, or I forget things. Because while I was listening to you, I was talking to the girlfriend over there, and we're talking because she'd seen there was a guy that she'd seen, and he was talking about the U.S. and how we'd spent not only today's resources but tomorrow's resources on our military and blah blah blah, and she come back and. Why are we? I don't understand what the reason is we're fighting the war on terror. And so I'm typing away, and I'm thinking, God, I don't want to type out the war on terror. So I went ahead and I did the first letter of each word. You know what that spells?
Yeah, the what?
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, oh my God! Even then, they knew they were screwed us over. And it's like, no, it was like, you know, sort of like that oil kind of, you know, the Operation Iraqi Liberation deal for me. It's like, oh my God, you guys just knew.
See, for years I referred to it as the GWAT, because remember, wasn't it Donald Rumsfeld, Gene, who told us that we have to call it the Global War on Terror? That makes it a GWAT.
Yeah, the GWAT's better. Yeah,
which it sounds like something that it sounds like the noise of somebody spitting something nasty on the sidewalk. GWAT.
Yeah, or some kind of social disease or something. But anyway, I just kudos to Sandra, by the way. I really reverberated with what she said about feeling, and then he really said that about. He still wants to work with the Republicans, and they said, no, the only thing they want is their agenda, and that's it. Didn't they come up with a few years ago about, you can't compromise the Democrats, that's state rape.
You are so correct. You don't miss much, Gene.
Oh, sometimes, but not this time.
Well, when you get up every morning and you read the whole internet, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, I will let you go so you can go on to the next caller, but I had to just call in.
Exactly. All right. Take it easy, Gene. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That's News Ninja Gene, who reads the entire internet every day. Yeah, that word, guat. Yeah. Careful, Timmy. Don't step in the guat in your new Buster Browns. Oh, God. Onward. Or not. Hey, welcome to the program.
Let's start with something funny.
Oh, do let's, Dick. your reputation for funny is sometimes more akin to my tendency to scream, but I'll trust you on this one.
I know this is not has anything to do with coal, and I hope I don't kill Sandra from laughter.
Oh no, we're still not okay with the coal fired pizza.
Jesus Christ. I mean, and, you know, I
you got to go back there, David. I want to know if they're talking about, you know, wood and down to, like, you know, hot coals, or if they actually honest to, no, they mean anthracite, don't they?
Yeah, they do mean it. And you know what's funny is that they keep these people are so stupid, I guess, that they actually think it's faster. I was looking at the clock or just counting time, and I was like, this isn't faster. This is another gimmick. And so I was waiting 20 minutes.
Yeah, because if it's a 1,000-degree oven, you should think it's almost like microwaving a pizza.
And I'm thinking, if I were these people, I would just tell people it was coal for the gimmick, and just put it in the toaster, put it in the horn toaster.
There you go.
So I don't even know how to start out with this.
David wins the pizza oven for tonight. We're upgrading.
Yeah. Well, this story is just so. Oh my God, where do I begin? Okay, so you know who MC Hammer is, right?
I'm so ashamed that you asked me.
Yeah, I mean,
I have crab dancing pants, damn it.
Okay, well, Jay-Z is known for putting in his rhymes sometimes metaphors and pop cultural references. Well, in one of the Kanye West songs, So Appalled, and I'm not making any of this up, people, by the way. I'm not writing this up. Couldn't write this if I tried. Jay-Z said the following, show me where the boats is, Ferrari Testarossas, the hammer went and broke, so you know I'm more focused, I lost 30 mil, so spent another 30, cause unlike hammer, 30 million can't hurt me. now,
you know, that's called kicking a man when he's down.
Yeah, but you have to understand, I mean, it's true. And what he said was true. Hammer lost the money, but here's the thing about MC Hammer. He's really religious, and I don't know if you've seen the video where he's dancing with the congressman on the Capitol steps.
No.
After 9/11.
No.
Talking about how they're going to get Bin Laden.
No.
And okay, now this is where I get Matt Osborne to say, oh my God, the stupid, it burns. And probably you and Sandra as well. Well, Hammer is very religious. And what I mean.
Oh yeah, MC Hammer found Jesus. Hey, Hammer, when'd you find Jesus? Right after I lost the money.
I mean, he's crazy. So when he heard about this, the irony of this is just, I mean, it's again, it's so surreal. So Hammer found out about this Jay-Z diss, and it really got to him. So he decided to make a music video about Jay-Z. Now, for those people who don't know, Jay-Z has had a bit of controversy about him, about his alleged ties to the Illuminati and the devil.
Stop it.
No.
The Illuminati? How about Bohemian Grove?
Well, they haven't gotten that far. And if people...
Trilateral Commission?
No, they don't. It's mostly just a surface dumpster diving kind of thing. Like the devil, the allegiance to the devil, Rockefeller.
Oh, he probably uses Palmolive products with that little moon and stars logo, and therefore he's a Satanist, right? I know how right-wing fundamentalist minds work.
Right. And you know, in a lot of ways, though, to me, MC Hammer is like a teabagger from Oakland. Because he does he does go for a lot of this BS. He went for that whole 9/11, we're going to get bin Laden and all of that, and he believes in Christ, and he's kind of like anti-homosexual and all kinds. Well, I mean, it just keeps going on and on. But what he said on Twitter was really revealing. A lot of people are trying to debate him, and these are some of the things that he says. We might have different faiths, but 99% of agree we ain't with that devil dogma. All that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Watch out, Jay-Z. MC Hammer is coming for you. If it was about rapping, I wouldn't waste my time. Respect my acumen. He made a mistake. I'm born of the spirit. Like, this is the best one.
Has he begun tweeting in tongues yet?
No, he hasn't tweeted in tongues yet. Now here's one that's just Dr. Victor Frankenstein doesn't say how he created the monster. I know I'm guilty, but I'm going to stop him. And then,
you know, I had a fun little tweet exchange just the other day, David.
Yeah.
There's a guy that probably the leading liberal Twitterer, mm-hmm, is a guy named Shock, S-H-O-Q. And he just put up, I follow him, and he just put up something the other day and said, and it was a quote from Billy Graham that said, the definition of a Christian is a man who can loan, who can give his parrot to the town gossip. And I read that, and something just kind of went sideways in my head, and I tweeted back to Shock. I said, you reckon he said that before or after he found out Richard Nixon had all those tapes of Billy Graham talking about the Jews in Hollywood, the Jews?
But see, what I'm getting at is a lot of people don't understand this, and a lot of people on the left who think about secret societies and the Illuminati, you don't own that meme, people. The churches own that meme. And they own it in ways that and a lot of people probably don't even think about. Like when people see images of Lady Gaga and Adam Lambert, I mean, it goes back to homosexuality being devilish. And a lot of people think about that, Bob. And then that's part of the problem is that the whole myth and the whole just the whole propaganda behind the Illuminati is all church based.
Sure, it is. Just like the whole whole urban myth about the satanicness of the Colgate Palmolive.
I don't think I'm familiar with that.
No, that's what I mentioned a minute ago. For years, and I mean going back to when I was a little tiny fundamentalist.
Right.
We were being told about how if you pick up, and I think it's Colgate Palmolive. Mm-hmm. No, it's Procter & Gamble. It's Procter & Gamble, P&G.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on, and maybe they've done away with it since, but their logo used to be a little crescent moon with some stars. It's just a little tiny thing.
That sounds Islam to me.
Shut up. Don't start. But no, we were told with all sincerity that is a sign that Procter & Gamble are controlled by Satan.
You see, Bob, here's the thing. In case a lot of people who don't know who MC Hammer, MC Hammer...
I wasn't allowed to listen to the Rolling Stones growing up.
MC Hammer is 48 years old, okay, people? He's 48 years old, and he still believes in the Illuminati, the devil, no pun intended, actually pun intended, religiously. He really does. But here's the funny thing. So he's going to release a diss video with the devil in it called Better Run, Run on guess what date? Guess what date?
No.
October 31st. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, so here's the thing about it. I guess they've had some back channel talk. And believe me, Hammer is insane. I'm going to put that out there. Hammer is insane. When he thinks someone has tested his honor, he's not backing down. And apparently Jay-Z has been battling, I hate to do it again, like the devil. Like the devil against these rumors about the Illuminati, Rockefeller. I mean, he even had to make a song called Freemason, which, again, I don't think...
Oh, you're kidding.
It doesn't help your case.
You know, David, you're putting on a clinic for the value that, no, you're putting on a clinic for the value that you serve to this network. You know, you actually go out and see, hear, and experience this stuff so that I can only, so that all I have to do is sort of groan at a distance. You know, this is another one of those instances where you don't, where I feel like, I feel like it's turning into a National Geographic special again.
I don't know if people know about this, but I mean, ever since Jay-Z has risen to, I mean, he's worth $400 million in case people didn't know, and he's going to be a co-sponsor for getting out the vote. They're trying to get him for the 2012 election, which, in my opinion, Bob, I think is a mistake because of this, because of the lots of the ties that he has, and including this Illuminati myth, and it would tie back to Obama, and it could backfire if somebody wanted to really push it really hard, because I don't know if people know this.
Oh, at this point, I don't think Obama's worried anymore. The right wing's convinced he kidnapped the Lindbergh baby anyway.
Yeah. But I guess the video is going to have Jay-Z portrayed as the devil.
This is too fun.
And the thing about it that really gets me is there are people who debate Hammer on Twitter, and usually it's a lot of people from the church who debate him. And they quote scriptures to him, and he quotes scriptures back. I mean, he's an entertaining guy to sometimes to read his tweets because, again, I mean, he's a guy who I guess you could say he considers himself a self-made man. He was in the Navy. He sold his music out of the trunk of his car. I mean, he built it from the ground up.
Yeah, bootstrapper.
Yeah. But see, the amazing thing about all of this is it's just that, Jay-Z has tried to, he's tried to backpedal or swim away from this for so long because there's a lot of people who have kind of like a niche living on saying that hip hop is tied to the Illuminati, and they do it better than they were able to do with the.
But again, I gotta interject, David.
Yeah.
That this is something that the fundamentalists have always done.
I know.
You know, I was on Bart Cop yesterday, and I read this note that he got from some guy who had moved from civilization to Kentucky, and he was living in southeastern Kentucky. And he said it was a dry county, but there was one county over that was wet, and there were three bars where you could go, but you could drink a beer in the bar, but you couldn't dance. No dancing.
Yeah.
Because dancing and drinking don't go together at all. But, you know, give them another year, and the fundamentalists will be okay, absolutely okay with the idea that you can't dance in the bar, but you can bring your gun to the bar. All right? And with that, because they already did that in Tennessee. And so with that in mind, you know, I've just got to remind people that that it was after John Lennon's smart-ass but arguably correct remark, you know, the Beatles are more popular than Jesus or something along those lines, because they were, you know, the Beatles were selling more records than Bibles were selling. So, you know, ergo, the Beatles were, you know. And all over the South, they had, long before the phrase Dixie chicked, a generation before the phrase Dixie chicked entered the lexicon, fundamentalists were burning Beatles albums. Okay,
yeah.
Elvis was satanic because ain't no man's hips on earth work like his do unless he's made a pact with Satan. That kind of stuff. Like I said a few minutes ago, I wasn't allowed to listen to the Rolling Stones because they had sympathy for the devil. There were sermons preached on it when I was growing up, okay? Not kidding.
Jimi Hendrix and the Devil Chord. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, Jimi Hendrix's Star Spangled Banner, for the love of God. It's a good thing that he died when he did, because there were Southern rednecks that would have killed him on sight.
Yeah, I think The biggest problem is that we've given so much slack to fundamentalist religion organizations in this country for so long that it's hard to fight them back in some way.
Well, it is, and it's harder to fight them back when you don't understand exactly how insane they are. A minute ago, you said, you know, Jesus, Hammer's 48 and he believes in witches. Or, you know, he believed in, well,
yeah.
You know, we had a we have just more or less gotten over having a national dialogue, David, about whether or not Christine O'Donnell is or is not a witch. A witch,
yeah.
Okay? Not a,
yeah.
not a Freemason or a member of the Eastern Star or the, you know, something real. A witch.
Yeah.
You know, well, she has got a wart, you know. Turned me into a newt. Jesus criminy. What's next? A werewolf? The mummy?
Yeah. Did you hear any of that? You must have heard that interview. I have to bring this up with the Christine O'Donnell and that radio broadcaster. Did you hear any of that?
Oh, yeah, about her going to sue the radio station?
Oh, insane. No, I mean, the questions that she was getting at and the way she was answering them to this, I don't know the radio host's name, but I was just like, wow, I can't even believe people are putting money behind her.
Oh, and I've got one more for you. News Ninja Gene reminding me. Remember, the letters in the name of the rock band Kiss stand for Kings in Satan's Service. Yep,
Knights
that one went.
Service.
Yep, only it was, I was always told it was Knights.
Uh oh. There's some differences. There's some satanic differences spread around.
Right, right. And there always are. You know, it's just like the great debate between, you know, when the rapture comes, are you rapturing naked or rapturing with your clothing on?
Yeah, and
whichever one you answer, the way you get them is whichever one they answer. When you ask them the question, whichever one they answer, you just look at them and say, heretic, you're going to hell.
Mm. But before I go, I did want to say that I voted today. I did a straight. I did not vote any independents. Partly for the reason is that for people who don't know, I think it's pretty much clear that most of the independents, if you were to group them in a room, most of the independents, whether a lot of people want to admit this or not, are just straight stubborn conservatives.
Right, they're Republicans who are. Independents, in large part over the years historically, have proven to be Republicans who are ashamed to admit it, just like libertarians are Republicans who want to get high.
And there's that one lone progressive or liberal in the room with all those independents, and he doesn't know until the party's more than just started. It's halfway into the night, and then when they start talking about what they're into, it's like, yeah.
I recently had one of those political moments here, and I will only say that it was highly distressing to me because it had a profound impact on my plans for this election. Not going to mention any specifics.
My dad has those political moments every single day in his email, on the telephone, because they whipped it up in a way, people, where I mean, for people who don't know, I mean, in the military, and especially the older guard of the military, and they'll get the younger guard of the military too. Don't think they won't. They just know how to pump the paranoia and the dogma. And since you don't really have to put too much thought into it, it's so easy to be quote unquote seduced by it, and when you instantly start spouting it out, you know. And I don't think a lot of people understand that a lot of the people who are into this kind of propaganda and this agenda, they just do it because they're just phoning it in, and they don't want to put any research or homework into it. And that's why a lot of times I wouldn't debate with any of these people, because they don't really want to debate you. They just want to say, hey, look what I heard.
There, yes.
And there's nothing to do. You can't do anything, people. I mean, and then that's part of the thing where I'm kind of puzzled that, you know, Tom Hartman is still debating Michael Medved every year.
It's good theater. Hey, who was it that was I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Who was it that was filling in for Tom a few days ago? A couple of days back.
Carl from Oregon, I think. The on KPOJ, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, the Hartman was apparently out, and I was watching my Twitter feed, and I saw where Shock wrote, Is that psychopath still guest hosting for Tom, or is it safe for me to listen again? And I had no idea what he was talking about.
I'm trying to think of who that would be. The psychopath. I'll have to look into that. But
when an ostensibly good liberal refers to somebody's guest host as being a psychopath.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
I think you know.
Oh Jesus! Okay. Jack from Shreveport just solved that little question.
Yeah.
David Sirota.
Oh David Sirota today. Yeah. He was talking about.
But was he guest hosting a couple of days ago?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I think I may have missed that day because I only know that David Sirota is the guest hosting for today and tomorrow. But I guess all I can say is the plague of religion continues on in areas and channels
where you wouldn't even dream of it.
And it just continues. It's toxic, and there needs to be some kind of there needs to be some kind of resistance building, and maybe that's what the Horn is doing, and maybe that we can continue on with that because. You don't want to go down.
Oh, if the right wingers ever discover me, they're going to have a fit. They don't know what they're missing. They could. I am so right wing hateable. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Well, Bob. I hope you're going to watch that. You're going to watch that Restore to Sanity rally. I know you have some.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't mind to be there, but it's just not possible.
Yeah. There's some good guests and stuff, and it's going to be better than the.
Well, Bart Cop's been saying that a bunch of Bart Coppers are showing up for it, and they'd have to be fun people.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna have to tune in for that then.
Cool. All right, David. You have a good evening.
All right, Bob. Later.
Thanks for it all. Bye now.
All right. Bye.
Jim is being positively reprehensible in the email. I'll just tell you that. I chided him, and he said, I am as pure as the driven slush. Just me being me, as Gene Simmons says on his reality show. You guys are what makes this all so much fun. I mean, we're talking about, we routinely talk about stuff that would make you tear your hair out and run screaming around the room, but somehow or another, you guys manage to stir the soup in such a way that it comes out just being all right. And I owe you an absolutely, I can never repay the debt of gratitude I owe for you just helping me hang on to my tenuous grasp at what passes for my sanity. Not kidding. I was asking questions at the beginning of the program, trying to understand Steve King, and Roland wrote in and said, you know, I think the point King was making was that accepting gay marriage would make it harder for the right-wingers to teach their interpretation of the Constitution, and that's the best I can come up with. And, you know, it's a sign of the struggle that we all go through. There's nothing about being gay in the Constitution. But some right-wingers will gladly make it up, just like Jesus in the Bible. Never said a blessed thing about being gay or not. He did say he absolutely forbade divorce, but he never got married himself. So they say. But a right-winger, that's nothing to a right-winger. It's nothing to a right-winger. Because a right-winger doesn't live in the same reality world that we do, and they'll just make crap up. MC Hammer. I'm still not okay with that. Oh, and Marty went ahead and did some looking, and let me know that, lo and behold, Netflix, Westworld is available on Netflix, but I'm an instant gratification guy, and if it's not there for playing on demand, not likely I'm going to see it. And Westworld is available on Netflix, but you have to order in the disc, and I can't wait a day. Damn. Foiled again. Onward we go. Or trying, at least.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Just wondering if you had anything, anyone come up with an idea of a Halloween costume contest?
No.
Who, what, and where? Who to dress up, what to dress them up as, and where to have them trick-or-treat.
That sounds fun.
You know, we could start with Sarah Palin as the Grim Reaper and send her over to Dick Cheney's house.
You're wicked. That's just evil. Could we equip her with a slab of bacon in the process?
Might.
Pound of butter?
We could do George W. Bush as a school dunce and send him to a preschool corner. Dress up Dick Cheney as the devil and send him straight to hell.
Score!
You know, and, you know, these kind of things, you know, Michelle Bachmann as a wicked witch from The Wizard of Oz and send her out to trick-or-treat in a heavy rainstorm.
You worked on this, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I the Wicked Witch thing I came up with before hearing about Christine O'Donnell, the so-called virgin from Delaware, which Salon Magazine came out with a little thing that apparently she had in an interview said that when she was in college, she went out and had sex with all these men that she had no emotional attachment to.
Oh, the good old days.
You know, so I don't know if she's claiming to be a born-again virgin, but then again, I seem to remember some post.
Well, now the important thing is that she was doing all this, and that just meant that she wasn't masturbating.
Well, that's true. Although one person has it that maybe she wasn't having sex, she was doing like Bill Clinton, and depending on the meaning of is, and it was saying that she had apparently addressed a group of gay men and said that she could have anal sex, but they couldn't because of the way of her reading of the Bible.
Ooh-wee!
You know, minor little detail. And, oh, by the way...
And again, this all falls under the general heading of it's okay if you're a Republican.
Yeah. Did you catch that... Sarah Palin apparently told Pennsylvania workers that it made sense for them to send Racy to D.C.
Yeah, wasn't that precious? And you know what? It was the one time that I have ever agreed with Sarah Palin, because I want all kinds of Republicans going to the polls in Pennsylvania and writing in John Racy.
Yeah, yeah. In that case, Seth should walk win in a walk. But you know when. Carl Rove says she lacks the gravitas. Maybe he meant the gray matter.
I think that was him trying to be a little bit nice.
Yeah.
Which, as we all know, is very, very difficult for the likes of a Carl Rove.
Oh yeah, Carl Rove is one of the evil people.
See, I thought you were going to suggest that, like, you know, horn listeners dress up and send in their Halloween photos. And I was going to say that, you know, I've got us a good start, because granted the photo is sideways, but if you go to the main page and watch the screen rotator go through, there's a photograph of Agnes doing her little sort of Sarah Palin impression. Only it has to do with the Kentucky head stomper, but she's got the little skinny glasses and her hair up in a bun and that sort of look on her face, and she's holding a matte black 12-gauge shotgun.
That might work. Of course, I thought all the Sarah Palin impressions happened to start with a little placard of "I quit."
Oh well, yeah. In this case, her placard was a riff on the Move On thing. That Move On wanted people to wanted people's signs to say "You can't stomp on me." So my idea was to give her the sign and the shotgun that says, "Just try and stomp on me."
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, hopefully things go well on Tuesday, although I'm not sure if they will.
Well, nationally, look, it's a midterm election. The sitting president always loses some seats in a midterm.
Yeah.
That's almost unheard of not to. But on the other hand, will it? The question is, will it be? If it's, see, I think if it's anything but a total tidal wave for the right wing, it has to be deemed a failure because they spent all this money. And I mean, if they don't take both houses of Congress and take it convincingly, they lose. They've lost. They've failed. If they take the House but not the Senate, they've failed. If they take the Senate but not the House, they've failed. But on the subsurface of it all, what really matters to them are state legislatures and governors, because the reason that they, the only reason, you know, under the subsurface of all the Obama stuff, what matters to them is this is a census year, and that means it's redistricting time, and redistricting is the one time when Republicans can win races without having to run in them, because they can just eliminate Democrats as a function of redistricting. And we forget that at our peril.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that one is very, very true. Now, I noticed that you were mentioning Steve King from out here in Iowa. And I don't know if anybody understands quite what is with that. At one time, that district, I think, 25, 30 years ago, was controlled by a liberal Democrat. I'm not sure if Harkin came out of the west of Iowa, and so I'm not sure exactly whether or not he came out of the southwest or northwest, but you had two liberal Democrats out of the western portion of Iowa about 30 years ago, and then all of a sudden, well, we got Grassley, and Grassley works like wow, and we got Harkin in the Senate, so you've got one on the left and one on the far right.
And then somehow... How many terms has Steve King been in that district?
He gets probably going on five or six. I'm not sure exactly what his district.
And see, I had that conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not being a smart aleck. Do people in his district know how nuts he is? And if they do know how nuts he is, does that mean that they're that nuts too?
I actually haven't looked up the district. I should, because at one time I thought he was actually representing a portion of Des Moines, which is very liberal. I mean, there's a few very liberal areas in Iowa, which includes Iowa City, the home of the University of Iowa, and then the Quads, the Davenport-Bettendorf area. Which is part of the Quad Cities, which is about maybe 400,000 or 500,000 people combined, Iowa, Illinois, and Des Moines, which is probably 600,000 or 700,000, and then Sioux City, out on the west coast of Iowa. But you know, a lot of areas you have. At one time, Iowa happened to be very liberal because they had a lot of union jobs.
Right,
and
people right, and people forget that the progressive movement has roots in the Midwest.
Did you ever hear of a senator named Harold Hughes?
Yes,
Harold Hughes. His election was the first election I ever worked for a candidate. I wasn't old enough to vote for him at the time, but I was working for him. And Harold Hughes came back as senator to the University of Iowa, where I was a student, and he made comment about how the highway patrol across the street were now watching him when they used to protect him when he had been governor. You know, but now as senator, they're watching him because he happens to be anti-Nixon and part of the Eastern liberal establishment. Because Hughes came out and he said, you know, Nixon's talking about this Eastern liberal establishment. Well, let's talk about who the hell these people are. And he says, well, there's George McGovern out here in South Dakota. There's Walter Mondale and Eugene McCarthy up there in Minnesota, just north of us in Iowa. There happen to be Gaylord Perry and William Proxmire in Wisconsin. Adlai Stevenson, well, I left out Humphrey, who had been the vice president out of Minnesota also. You had Adlai Stevenson, who had been the Democratic nominee for president out of Illinois. You had Stuart Symington out of Missouri. And you had Harold Hughes out of Iowa. the damn Eastern liberal establishment was surrounding.
That's that's practically a cabal of Boston Brahmins.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. And this was, you know, it's been like 40 years ago since he said that. And, you know, we've had decent people. John Culver, his son's now the governor of Iowa, was senator for a while. Dang, who was the other one?
Well, I do have some. I've got some Steve King data for you.
Oh yeah.
He's out of Iowa's fifth.
Yeah.
His official residence is in what? Chiron? Is that how it's pronounced? K-I-R-O-N?
It's probably a small town northwest Iowa. Is my guess.
Yeah, he was born in Storm Lake. Okay, no, the district. Okay, the district is located in the western part of the state and includes Sioux City and Council Bluffs.
Okay, Sioux City and Council Bluffs are large areas. Those people should know better.
Okay, so then the question question persists: how does this clown get in office?
Well, Iowa happened to pick up on legalized gambling, and now we've gotten all our riverboats off the river and into casinos. And apparently a lot of Iowans think they're going to get rich by gambling or the lotto and don't want higher taxes for when they win.
That's a really attenuated, and I'm not being critical, but that's a really attenuated sort of explanation for conservatism.
Yeah, but I mean, why else? I mean...
What about the Jeebus factor?
There's got to be a lot of teachers out there that are fairly well paid, that are going to go out and vote for the Republicans because they don't want higher taxes, that didn't learn the lesson of the UAW workers back when they voted for Reagan in the 80s, that if you vote for these Republicans, that your jobs are going to go away. You know?
And yet they keep on going away. You know, for me, the seminal story coming out of Iowa in the last 5 years comes out of Postville. The meatpacking plant there,
mm-hmm,
that was just chock a block with undocumented immigrants and a nasty, vicious campaign to beat back unionization. And a couple of times I went to the Des Moines Register and I read the comments on some of these stories about Shalom Rubashkin and the way he ran that outfit. And to see the ordinary Joe, is it just a factor around the country that the only people commenting on newspaper articles are right wingers, or because the stuff I saw made my eyeballs burn with the hate that was just being pounded over these pitiable undocumented immigrants who were being worked like fellahin, slaves, serfs.
Also out of there, I think that was the same one, wasn't it? Or there couldn't have been two that bad. There was one where this one industry brought up to Iowa from Texas, I think it was, mentally handicapped people and essentially used them as slaves.
Yeah, very nearly. That may be the same one.
But
I remember when the undocumented immigrants were rounded up, they were taken to the cattle lot of the state fairgrounds. And
that may well be, yeah. But they had a roundup that actually included southeast Iowa too, because you had a lot of illegals coming in and working in industries here, cutting off the capability of Iowans to hold those jobs. Now that you can see that kind of problem with. I mean, hell, if you go back to the early 70s, Cesar Chavez used to go down to the Mexican border to try to stop illegals from coming up to challenge his union, because the growers out there in California would have been happy to hire the illegals to undercut the union that he was pushing.
Well, all told, all of these are variations on the theme of Mr. What was his name? Thomas Frank, his What's the Matter with Kansas book.
Oh yeah.
And they're questions that have to be answered state by state by state. But when I see the likes of Steve King, I want to go on a door knocking campaign through Sioux City and Cedar Rapids. And what's wrong with you people? Unfortunately, I'm fresh out of time, but it's been a great conversation, and I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, take care. Have a good day.
And you too. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Bye now. And onward, we don't roll onward because it's three minutes before the hour and time to get out of here. I have to say some very special thanks. We entered the program $400 from meeting our October goal. We finished the program. $275 from the goal. So thank you very kindly, all of you who did that, and you know, I hope, who you are. It will be really, really nice, I hope, either tonight or by tomorrow night, to have actually made it all the way through the October goal. I can't wait. It's just nice to be able to pay bills. It really, really is. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Remember, you can all join the anybody can join in the Thrifty 250 just by going and doing the PayPal donation at headonradionetwork.com or by snail mail, your choice, either way. Remember, when you're a $10 donor per month, when you're a $10 contributor, that works out to being less than 5 cents per hour for every hour of this program. That says a bunch, doesn't it? But thanks to Lottie in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Our continuing condolences going out to Susan for the loss of her husband Donald. And thank you for your kind expressions of sympathy for her and her family. Thanks to our blogger Texas Betsy, who is fixing the photo there on the photo of Agnes at headonradionetwork.com. Thank you very much for that. Thank you to John Fox, to Ben Birch, to Matt Osborne, to my head writer, David in Tennessee. Thank you to Reverbo, with a column up at Cavalcade of Crazy, headonradionetwork.com, a memorial, an homage, if you will, to Mickey Mantle. Darn fine writing. Like writing you're not going to find on a lot of other websites anywhere around the interweb tubes. Thank you. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Wow, this show has flown by. Thanks. It's all because of you. And Gina, always, 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 it's all for you.